Good evening. Welcome to Lehigh Valley Discourse. This is Sally Hanlon, your host this evening. We're so glad that you're listening to us. We have a very special show. As you know, that this is March and it's Women's History Month. And for the last 7 years, what we've been doing is catching up with what's happening with our, what's going to be the most famous women's college, I think, with Cedar Crest College and the president, Carmen Twilley Ambar. As listeners, you may recall, Carmen came to Cedar Crest in 2008 when just about everything we knew as what the world was changed. Our understanding about business and finance changed, and just about every process that we went through changed. In addition to all the changes that came about, the strategic direction for most women's colleges was to become co-ed, to strengthen their prospective student base, and to not really stay as a women's college anymore. In less than 2 years, when Carmen came on board, she and her staff put together a 7-year strategic plan, and in 2010, they embarked upon the journey to remain a small, private women's college, keeping its liberal arts tradition and focus on women's leadership. And each year for the past 7 years, Carmen has been our guest to give us a little bit more insight about the college and how it's functioning and where it's going and its accomplishments. And I am just so excited to share with you tonight. This last year has been tremendous. Carmen, thanks for being here tonight.
Glad to be here. This is a nice annual event that I get a chance to do with you. It's fun to come.
Yeah. And as I was doing the research again and going through all the materials, it was just, wow, look what they've done. And it's only been a year since we've talked.
I know. So. Well, what has been nice about this for me is as we've talked each year, you know, I'm seeing the strategic plan come to fruition. We talk about what we're thinking about. And then 2 years later, we come back and say, we've done that. We've launched it. So it's been also a nice sort of reminder of what I think we've been working towards as a community to move the college forward. So it's a nice moment to come each year because I get a chance to go, did we get that done or not? We said we were going to do that to Sally. Did we do it, guys? So it's been good.
Well, and we've got some good things to share with you listeners about what they have gotten accomplished. But before we do that, there's two areas I'd like to talk to Carmen about. And the first is something, if you read today's paper, you would see that Cedar Crest is one of the top women's schools in the U.S., according to College Choice.
Yeah.
College Choice, share with our listeners what you can about College Choice and what this means to Cedar Crest.
Well, I think it's another organization. You know, this idea of rating colleges is becoming pretty hot, and College Choice likes to take sectors of higher education and to rate institutions within those sectors. And they're like U.S. News and World Report, that they use a lot of metrics to make that determination. And Cedar Crest was number 13, and in 2009, when Forbes did theirs, we were number one,
right,
of the top 10.
Yeah.
So we have been consistently one of the top women's colleges in the country. And we're really proud of that. I mean, when you look at the list of institutions there, and I would encourage the listeners to go and look at that list because we're ahead of some really interesting places that I'm not sure necessarily people would say, oh, if they weren't looking at this list, that Cedar Crest is a higher ranked institution than those places. But it's nice to be affirmed. You know, one of the things I said when I first got here to Cedar Crest is that, you know, to our faculty and staff, we're going to have private victories before we have public victories. Mm-hmm. And we're going to know that things are better and that we're moving forward before those victories become public. And what's been interesting over these last couple of years, as we've known things are humming along much better, now we're starting to get these sort of more public affirmations. And it's nice. We already felt affirmed, but it's nice to see those articles and to see that affirmation outside of our own sense of self.
Well, and it seems to be coming more often these days that I'm seeing it. So
it's
really
been
wonderful.
Incredible. It's just been, we've been in the newspaper, in these, you know, nice, snazzy magazines. It's just been really great. And that's not a function of me. That's a function of the entire team, the faculty and staff, and the work that they've done to help our students move forward, but also to think in a very, I think, clear-headed way about how to move the institution forward. And so I'm proud of them. I'm proud of them for their work.
Well, and that speaks to, I think, the plan and everything you put together, and you've sort of stayed with that plan, and everything is now, as you said, the private victories are now becoming public because of that.
You know, it's interesting. I mean, I've been a big believer in a dynamic strategic plan that you really don't put on a shelf, mm-hmm. that you are clear with yourself about the right direction as much as you can see it, and to not be devoid of being able to be flexible and move to different directions. Clearly, we can do that. But to also give things a chance to work and give it time to take root.
Right.
And I think that we had some broad principles that we believed in, some key initiatives that we thought were important, and we have stuck with those and invested in those. And so now we're seeing the results of that work. And I think, you know, it's important to be able to be flexible and to be able to change when you see something's not working. But it's also important not to give up too soon on something that requires just some grit.
Right.
And some commitment,
stamina. Yeah.
And I think we've been able to do that.
Yeah, I think too many businesses today do look at the short term, and some of that is more shareholder mm-hmm. pressure, because I think if they didn't have that, they might be able to stick to it. But this, you never know. The accountability is just all over the place,
right?
Because you never know if it's going to work or not, because you changed.
Changed. And I think that was one of the things that I sensed when I came, when I would talk to faculty and staff about projects and initiatives, what happened there. Well, we did that for 18 months. We did this for 2 years. We did this for 3.5 years. And you just don't have time to see. And if you're changing too much, you can't establish which variables are really making the difference.
Absolutely.
And I think that's a lesson not only in higher ed, but for any business or project that you're beginning. You gotta give it some time, not to be too stuck with it if it's not working for years and years, but give it enough time to get some roots and some legs.
Well, and to make sure that it has the right components to it, because when you start out, you can't see everything.
That's so true. So I think we've done that. Is there anything we've done well? I think we've got enough consensus around the big issues and stuck to it and tried to make it work and worked through the little kinks and problems, knowing in our mind that this was the right thing to do.
Yeah. Well, it worked. It's working.
It's feeling good.
It's working good. But before we go into more about Cedar Crest, you had shared with me before the show about a surprising decision that was made by a long-established women's college, and that's Sweetbriar College in Virginia. And I was really shocked when you had shared that with me.
You know, it's been interesting. I think this one really sent some shockwaves through the entire small private liberal arts college community, you know, not just women's colleges, because I think women's colleges have certainly been thinking about those issues for quite some time. I think that one of the challenges for Sweetbriar and people's reaction to Sweetbriar was that they had a $94 million endowment. And so some people say, well, gosh, what, you know, why can't you make that work? But I think that this is really about one of our first conversations, Sally, about the business model and about, you know, Sweetbriar has 523 undergraduate students.
And that's it.
And so just as a comparison, Cedar Crest has 1,600 full-time enrolled students. Sweetbriar has no graduate programs.
None.
No adult programs. You know, what I said to people a lot about this issue of small private women's colleges, and I think the media has kind of liked this narrative of women's colleges closing. But the truth of the matter is that's not the real narrative. I mean, a lot of women's colleges have gone co-ed. But the narrative is about, what does it mean to be a small private college in this era? And can we use some business principles to ensure that our model is sustainable? And not to be a Monday morning quarterback, because I don't know all the details at Sweetbriar, but just knowing some of those basic facts about not having graduate programs, not having adult programs. Many of you guys, listeners, know that we have our School of Adult and Graduate Education. That's 40% of our full-time enrolled students. So if we didn't have that piece, that would make our business model significantly different and significantly more challenging.
Absolutely.
So, you know, it's about diversification like a lot of businesses. It's about multiple revenue streams. It's about being responsive to the market and having majors. You know, when the listeners think about the times I've come and talk about the new majors at Cedar Crest, almost every time I've come, we've had a new major on the docket, right?
And we do tonight.
Right, we do tonight. And we've eliminated some majors. And that's about, you know, that's about what the world should always look like, right? That's not just some new thing that should be happening at Cedar Crest. You should be consistently hearing me come and say, we are eliminating this major, we're adding on these majors. because the arc of majors and areas of focus are going to change more rapidly.
Well, they have to. I mean, some of the careers of tomorrow haven't even started being invented today. So you've got to be able to be flexible to work with that.
It's interesting. So one of the little jokes that I always tell to families, prospective families, many of you know that I have triplets. And when I first had the triplets, my older brother called. He was driving. He was in Tennessee, couldn't be there to see them. And so he asked me to send a picture of them. And I didn't know how to send a picture on my phone because that was new technology.
Yeah.
That was 7 years ago. So a whole industry got created.
Yeah, a lot more pictures are being taken, too. listeners, in case you didn't get it from what we're talking about, Sweetbriar has made a decision to close this August and to end the career of the college. And as Carmen has indicated, the business model is probably most likely part of that because the endowment obviously was very nice. But there was another comment by a Forbes columnist that basically he said that he didn't feel that they had a specific identity or a brand. And so they were sort of got a little lost in the shuffle because they weren't out there standing behind anything that people recognized.
Yeah, you know, it's hard for me to know. I will say this, that it's an important time and moment for all colleges to understand where they're positioned in the market and to be clear about what that means. So for Cedar Crest, we have been standing on women's leadership in this really kind of clear and bold way. We've also been standing really firmly on the strength of our institution as a regional institution. And even though we have a national reach, we're about this powerhouse regional college and being responsive to the market. So, you know, when all of this new sort of renovation and work was happening in downtown Allentown, we were one of the first colleges to say, hey, can't we put some courses down there? Can't we be working with the businesses there? Because we are a powerhouse regional college, and so we're going to try to make those connections. And I think, you know, if there's any lesson from Sweetbriar, it is take a close look at your business model, know what you stand for, and be clear about it in a way that helps everyone in the region know who you are. I do think it is a siren song for many colleges to just, hey, pay attention. Mm-hmm. This is a world where colleges do close, and none of us want to be one of those institutions.
Well, and I think the other aspect too, as you said, you were one of the first to go and say, hey, you know, downtown, do you need us? Mm. Colleges can't afford to be in isolation, to be an island. They've got to be able to relate to the communities that are surrounding them. And hopefully there are communities surrounding them,
right?
Because that's another problem
that
if there aren't.
Exactly. And I think that was another challenge for Sweetbriar. They were in a rural location. We are blessed to be in the Lehigh Valley and to be connected to this region with Philadelphia and New York close. So there are a lot of advantages to mm-hmm. that. But I think that's right. You cannot ignore your community. People have to, you know, it's kind of like, you know, one of the things for those folks in the audience that go to church or mosque or synagogue, you know, one of the things that folks in those organizations will say sometimes is, if you disappeared tomorrow, would your community know you were gone? Right? That's an indication of whether you add value,
whether
you're connected or not. Yeah. And so, you know, I would say if tomorrow Cedar Crest wasn't here, the community would feel that,
mm-hmm.
right?
Absolutely.
They would know we weren't there because of the impact we're having on this region. And you know, that's something that we all have to pay attention to.
Yeah, great. Well, let's talk a little bit about what's been going on at Cedar Crest, because you had an op-ed article in the Morning Call recently, great things are happening. You mentioned the student enrollment, and that's up, correct?
Right. So we had our best traditional class in 6 years. We also exceeded our enrollment targets for SAGE for several years in a row. So SAGE has been growing fantastically. But what was great about that traditional group was that it was our most academically accomplished in 10 years. So that group came in with an average GPA of 3.44. Average GPA. So that's a bright group of young women coming in. We had a 19% growth in our endowment, which was incredible. Half of that was market, which we all love market growth. But the other half were gifts of the college.
Nice.
And that's what you really want to see, right? This investment by people who really know you well. And we had this wonderful $3.5 million gift that allowed us to renovate our dining hall. And if you haven't been on Cedar Crest campus, you have to come. And it's worth it to come tomorrow, even in the snow, because with this fantastic fireplace in the middle of our dining.
I saw that the last time I was there.
And it's become the hot spot on campus for students and staff and faculty. It's almost like you take a ticket to go and sit by the fireplace. We launched 4 new majors. So all our public health and exercise science and health and wellness and promotion. We're having one of those just fabulous years. And what's great about it is that it's just the cumulative effect of all of this hard work of the faculty and staff on behalf of this institution.
Okay. Well, and then one other thing, too, is according to College Choice, you have a reasonable tuition compared to others. So you've been doing all this and you're attracting, and yet you're able to be, you know, more affordable than other institutions.
You know, so we have always been a fiscally sound institution, and we've been conservative in the way that we spend our resources. I jokingly say, and sometimes it sounds tough, but, you know, we do more with a dime than anybody, right? You know, we make a dime, a dollar, a lot at Cedar Crest. But part of the reason why we do that is because we want students to be able to afford our institution. We are in this business because we want to change society. And for us, changing society is about access and opportunity to a college education. And so we want all types of students to be able to afford to come to Cedar Crest. We have a significant number of first-generation college students. And when I say to families and to parents that we are not only changing their child's trajectory, we're changing their family's trajectory. And that's true if you're the first person to go to college
Absolutely.
In your family.
Absolutely.
And so we are committed to being an affordable institution. For 4 years in a row in U.S. News and World Report, we've been named the best value. And that's all about keeping our costs down. And when we have tuition discussions at the Board of Trustee meetings, it's really about, is this going to be an affordable increase? How can we make sure this is not on the backs of students in a way that makes this institution not affordable? And I think that's about who we are at our core.
Mm-hmm. Terrific. Well, you had mentioned something that I wanted to get a little bit more into, and that was the new majors that we discussed last year. The health sciences, the public health, the health wellness promotion, and exercise science. Can you give our listeners a little bit of update on each of those and how they're being accepted? And
so one of the things I want to make sure we do is to bring Diane Babson, who's our new faculty member in this area. She's to come down and talk to you. She is just a powerhouse. And she's been working mainly in the exercise science arena. We have been working with Lehigh Valley Hospital, going down to Center City in Allentown, because we want to combine kind of public health and exercise science in these interesting ways. Those majors have really taken off. I think in the first sort of couple of months, we have 15 or 20 students majoring in these areas. So I just think it has the potential. So we have 300 nursing students at Cedar Crest. And we are known for the sciences and forensic science and chemistry and biology. I think that these 4 majors have the potential to rival nursing in terms of the numbers of students that might be in those majors over
Excellent.
Time. So we'll see. But we all know that healthcare is an expanding field. Certainly here in the Valley, in this region, this is a powerhouse for healthcare professions. And we want to be right there at the front lines.
Well, and wellness has been gaining momentum and traction as well, which is part of what this is after.
It'll be really interesting to see that particular major. That's the one I had the most question marks about, health and wellness and promotion. How will that play out? Because you see that play out in corporations and organizations around health and wellness and promotion. That's an interesting little major. So that might be a dark horse.
Yeah.
What's that one going to be? I don't know.
Yeah. Listeners, please stay with us. This is Sally Hanlon. We're going to take a short break, and you'll be back with us momentarily.
Spread the word about your organization or business to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced music programs reaches thousands of locally engaged listeners each day. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable way to enhance your image and to provide information about your services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, call 610-694-8100, extension 6, or visit our website, wdiy.org.
For program support on WDIY, we thank Miller Symphony Hall, presenting the National Theater and the live broadcast of Behind the Beautiful Forevers. The story of the lives of residents that live in the slums beyond the luxury hotels surrounding Mumbai Airport in India, Thursday, March 19th at 7 p.m. For information, millersymphonyhall.org.
Welcome back, Lehigh Valley. This is Sally Hanlon, your host this evening on Lehigh Valley Discourse. And with me for Women's History Month in the studio is President of Cedar Crest College, Carmen Twilley Amber. And we have been talking about some updates at Cedar Crest and what's been going on. We just, before the break, talked about some of the new majors. One of the other areas I'd like to talk about, and I'm going to sort of reverse my area, because you had mentioned SAGE and how well SAGE has been doing. Why don't you give us an update on that?
So SAGE, gosh, that has been one of the huge sort of powerhouse engines, I would say, of Cedar Crest over the past 7 years. So that's our School of Adult and Graduate Education. Those are returning adults for master's degrees, graduate programs, and other bachelor's degrees. It's now 40% of the full-time students at Cedar Crest. We just are launching our MBA program that's out of SAGE, and so that will be launching in the fall. And I think this is really about the way our society is being reshaped and how people switch careers, change industries, retool, get additional skills to move up. And I think people want to be continually educated, and they want to go and grab a certificate here, a couple of courses here, sometimes a full degree. And so SAGE has been about providing them that opportunity in a very convenient way, responding to their schedule. I mean, that's why we have some courses where you can take on the weekend, three weekends, and get 3 credits. The way we have structured our MBA is about trying to make sure that we can provide it to you in the time and the space that you want to have it. And although we have men in SAGE, about 12% men in our SAGE school, you know, this really is about women and helping women work their education around their lives. And, you know, we need flexibility, we need convenience, we need accessibility, and we need the right major, the right certificate at the right time. And it has just blown the doors off things. I mean, you know, people's response to SAGE has been, this is exactly what I needed to make my career be different. And, you know, one of the things I think is important about all institutions, when you look at your mission, so your mission may not change, but how you deliver on that mission may change.
Absolutely.
And so for Cedar Crest, you know, it began as the small women's college, and now it's about helping women, you know, make career changes,
fine tune,
and so still delivering on that mission, but just in a different way.
Right. Right. Well, it's been interesting to watch SAGE develop, because I remember the launch that you had, you know, not that long ago.
Yeah. Saying during my time, right?
Yeah. It's been wonderful to see. Now, you had mentioned about sort of changing and altering things. One of the things you mentioned last year was getting more into digital marketing.
Yeah.
About Cedar Crest, so that you were keeping up with the students that were coming in, the freshmen that were coming in, and their what they're attracted to in the digital world.
You know, it's been interesting, the digital space. So I always jokingly say to our faculty that sometimes get a little frustrated that they don't see more Cedar Crest advertisement. And I said, well, if you're seeing it, you're the wrong people. You're not our target.
Are you coming back to school?
Are you coming back to school here? Because no. Now, if you have an 18-year-old daughter, then that's great. You should be seeing it. But it really is about, you know, tapping into where they are. So there's some sophisticated ways of doing digital marketing besides sort of looking at counties and areas where we've been successful in tagging, you know, zip codes and targeting your digital market right to their cell phone, where they are, connecting with the websites that they're on, making sure that that the search follows them. So I'm sure that some of the listeners have been on a site where they've looked at some shoes and then they're on some other site and there comes an ad from that same place that they just shopped. Well, that's the type of digital marketing that Cedar Crest is doing. And it's about meeting those students where they are and finding a way for them to be connected to us in the space that they're in. So we have found that to be the right thing for us. You're probably never going to see thousands and thousands of billboards about Cedar Crest, although we do have a few out there. Because in this space, this is where those students are. They're on their smartphones. We made sure our site was mobile ready so that everything had a mobile application to it. Mm-hmm. And so we're now thinking about our own apps. And I mean, it's an interesting time to be in marketing for small private colleges because you have to meet those students where they are.
Well, and maybe you need to have a course on that so those of us in business can be educated and follow with what, with what you're doing. Because I'll tell you, I just turn off.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, you know, when I think about my own children, so the triplets are going to be 8 in April, and they're texting back and forth with their grandparents.
At eight.
They know how to use an iPad as well as anyone. When I think about where they are, I know that we have to be right in that space with this generation of students. It's even playing out in an interesting way, Sally, that you and I haven't talked about, but it's about flipping classrooms. So here's the new approach.
Okay.
You do the professor does the lecture on YouTube or in some video format that gets sent out to the students. They're listening to the lecture on YouTube or where it is outside of the classroom environment. When you come into the classroom is flipped. And now in the classroom, you're doing hands-on project, applying that work that you saw on the video into a hands-on project, because that's the way they learn. Now they want to do, they want to engage in their learning in a way that's different. So this notion of coming and listening to a lecture
and taking notes
and taking notes. Oh no, that world is moving by the wayside, and we're flipping classrooms. So they're getting the content of the lecture on their own time in their own way. And this is not just, you know, for people who are in our online programs. This is what's happening for traditional undergraduates, right?
And I think in training, in even in corporate training.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, hey, get the training outside, get the sort of text outside, come and apply it when you get to the classroom.
Put it to use.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, I noticed your website is different from last year.
Yes.
Very nice. I went on there and I found my way around and doing things. And I thought this, I could tell that the new face of Cedar Crest.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, it's wonderful. Something else is closely arriving, but not quite this year. And that is the 150th.
Yeah.
So is there anything going on that you can share, or is this all secret until we get to that point?
I'm hoping that we have a big new initiative to announce at our 150th. So I'll leave it at that. But okay. It has been something that I've been alluding to around global education when I've come. And I'm hopeful that we'll be able to announce that. But we're about 2 years away. We have already started the planning for the 150th. We'll be 150 years old in 2017. We are certainly going to have a gala, and we're going to have a theme of on the crest of the future.
Okay.
So that's
okay.
Our theme.
Okay.
And we will have activities all through the year that focus on that theme and that tie it back. But we're hopeful that we have a really cool announcement that I think will distinguish us once again as a top women's college.
Yeah. Well, one of the things you announced last year that I thought distinguished you, and I haven't really heard of anybody else doing it, was the 4-year guarantee.
Yeah.
And how is that? Have you gotten response on that?
You know, I think, there are a lot of reasons why I think we had the largest traditional class enter this year. But I think one of the reasons was the 4-year guarantee.
Okay, now explain that to our listeners.
The 4-year guarantee says to any prospective student, and this class that's here this year is the first class that came in under 4-year guarantee. If you follow our guidance and advice, so meet with your advisor, register on time, don't sort of leave school, sort of follow the regular course that we suggest, we guarantee that you will finish in 4 years. And we guarantee that you can do that and still do an internship or still do something, study abroad. Like, you don't have to give up the other extras. You can still do that. And the reason why we did that was because, first of all, we wanted to continue to demonstrate value, right? This is about a value proposition, and we understand this is a huge investment for families. And it's important for us to demonstrate our value. And one of the ways to do that is to say, we guarantee you can do this. And it's been really interesting. So this is now, we're coming to the end of the year where the students have to sign up for the 4-year guarantee and make sure that they're on track. And it's great because they get a little contract. They have to follow along. It gives them a way of investing in a deeper way in their progress. And some of the things they have to do are things they should be doing anyway, right?
Right.
Their parents want them to do this. But it's a way of giving them a little checkup. And one of the reasons why we also did it was because of the deep cuts in higher education. So many institutions can't provide the sequence of courses. But the other piece of it is we said, hey, look, if we mess up, if for some reason we cancel a course or you get the wrong advice, then the extra time is on us. Mm. And that's a way of saying, hey, we want to demonstrate our value to you. We know this is a partnership, and sometimes you mess up and that's on you. But if we mess up, that's on us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, when I say that to parents, it's like, yeah.
That makes sense.
That makes sense. And I don't want someone who is really investing in their college experience to pay for an extra year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want them to do that. They would be paying for an extra year and losing the income that they would be making if they were in a position.
Right.
That's not what we want to have happen to them. And so we can find a way to help them get it right.
Well, and it definitely does sound like it's been an impact.
I think it has. And I think when you see people walking around on campus with 4YG buttons, you know, people go, what is that? And we get a chance to say, hey, we guarantee you can get it done.
Yeah, that's terrific. That's terrific. You had mentioned, Carmen, about the increase that you've had in endowments and gifts to the college. And you mentioned the cafeteria. And that's just one part of what that gift is providing, correct?
Right. No, it's that gift from Verna Canova, who left the college $3.5 million, is just one of the things that it's a transformative gift, right? It has impacted our entire campus in terms of the dining facility. But the next piece are scholarships for women in the sciences. So there was a significant piece left for that. She also left some money for renovations to the Science Center. So we were literally just talking today about renovations to the science wing. So we'll be doing that between, I think that our provost said today that it's going to start May 18th, the renovation project, and it'll finish August 16th. So they have so they got to get going. She was really saying that to make sure we all kind of got in line there. But we hope to redo the first year labs. So they'll have state-of-the-art sort of lab when they go in. And I think one of the things that's been great about Cedar Crest, one of our distinctiveness is that we say to any student, if you're in the sciences in your first year, you absolutely will be doing undergraduate research. And there's not very many schools where you can say you're going to be doing undergraduate research in your first year. And so having top-notch lab facilities for our students is really at the core of who we are. We're known for the sciences.
Correct.
And that has to be really great space for our students. So we're going to redo the chemistry lab and redo one other lab for our students. And it will impact about 50% of Cedar Crest students, just that lab. And because so many students have to go through those science courses.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really excited about that because I know that that's going to make a difference for our students. And, you know, one of the things that's been nice about watching the students go into the dining facility is, you know, they're just worthy of a beautiful space, right? And they squealed with delight when we opened the doors to that facility. And it was moving for those of us who, you know, were part of the administrative team, just to watch students go, oh, wow, this is so great. And they're just appreciative. And so when we get a chance to do something really special for them, it just makes our hearts glow because they deserve it.
Yeah.
They're hardworking young women, and they deserve it.
And I was just reading, listeners, their annual report where they featured several of the students. And I am just amazed at the scope of what these young folks, and there's a young gentleman in there as well,
right.
as young women.
Interesting. Yeah.
But what they're doing besides their education curriculum, you know, as far as getting involved in the community, being involved on campus, I'm amazed.
Yeah, I think it's the hallmark of who we are. We talk a lot about services leadership, so our students are very engaged on campus, always with multiple majors and minors. They're out there in the community in these significant ways. because we just believe that leadership is service, and that's part of who we are. You know, you begin to draw to you who you are, right? And so the students who come here are students who are working really hard, maybe putting themselves through school, but service is important, so they're not letting that go. And they are literally going to change the world for good. They are. And that's why it's fun to be there.
Yeah. Well, it's making things happen. Now, you had said that, you know, at the show, we mentioned things that you're going to be doing, and then we check up on the next
right.
show. Okay. So new happenings now that I'm understanding, you have a new enriched orientation program and a peer mentorship. Is that correct?
Yeah. So it's been really interesting. And I never would have thought this would have had such an impact. But one of the things we did at orientation is we said we want to make sure that our students are getting engaged across campus, that there's this really seamless integration between the academic experience and the student life experience. And so we don't want students to, in their pursuit of their academic piece, which is really important, to not take the time to go out in those student organizations and really get that experience. So we created this mentoring program, Peer Mentors, and students in the first year seminars were required to meet with their peer mentor every other week. And we tracked them like they had to go. And, you know, they did things like if you said you were interested in the psychology club, they would meet with you and say, well, hey, Sally, I thought you said you were interested in psychology. Did you go to the meeting? You say, oh, no, I didn't have time. Oh, you did? Well, no, let's email them and let's make sure. Let's meet on Thursday so you can go to that meeting. And it has just exploded the engagement on campus with students, you know, record numbers at student government, record numbers at all of the
wow.
student organizations. It's a way of sort of walking, particularly that first year student, through the sort of jitters of getting engaged on campus. So that they're going to do it, but they might end up doing it at the end of sophomore year, not their first year.
Yeah.
And we are about practicing leadership. I mean, that's one of our mantras there,
right.
That one of the ways you become a good leader is you practice. And so encouraging them to get engaged early helps them practice. And the mentors can give them that right balance. Wait a minute, you can't do five organizations. You can only do two. And you got organic chem. Okay, well, let's hold off.
Yeah.
You know, so they can give them that good
advice. Yeah.
A little advice. And I just think it's created more vibrancy on campus in a way that I think it's going to pay off in what students are doing by the time they're seniors.
Okay. So are the mentors upperclassmen? Or?
They are. So they are orientation leaders. So
okay.
They are students who are hired to be orientation leaders. And then they stay with them through the entire first semester. And during the first year seminar, students have their plenary sessions that happen every other week.
Mm-hmm.
And on the off weeks, instead of going to your plenary session, you go and meet with your mentor.
Okay.
And they kind of walk you through the student engagement experience. And it's been just this interesting little, you know, it's the layering of all of these interactions that allow students to think differently about themselves. So one of the big challenges for women, first year students, is to envision what the possibilities are for themselves. And sometimes you need somebody to help you do that.
Oh, more than often,
right?
Even now.
Right, even
yeah.
now, right? We need someone to help us envision that. And so part of what we're trying to do is to do that really early on in their career so they can see what the possibilities are and go out and take hold of it, not when they're juniors, but when they're first year students.
All right. And another thing that I noticed that you're doing this year is the multicultural center that you have with both online and face-to-face tutoring.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. We've had, like a lot of colleges around the country, an increase in students of color on our campus and
mm-hmm.
SAGE and in the traditional women's college. And, you know, wanting to have an environment that everyone feels like they can be a part of it. And so the multicultural center came out of the strategic plan. So that was sitting there in the strategic plan. But this new online and tutoring piece and sort of face-to-face opportunities, student run, so that's always nice, upperclass women sort of helping first-year students and second-year students, but also just helping people get comfortable in the environment and letting them know, because I think this is huge for all students, letting them know that they can do it. You just need somebody sometimes to say, yeah, I know this is hard, but you can do it.
Yeah,
you wouldn't have been admitted here if you couldn't, and so let's have a little grit, stick to it. Spend a little more time on it, and you can do it. And that's what those folks do for our students.
That reinforcement is extremely critical and very helpful. And it's not just the first-year students.
Absolutely. And I will say that, because you know we're known for the sciences, for the STEM fields, science, technology, and math, and engineering. And It's particularly important in those fields. And that's the reason why women's colleges and Cedar Crest in particular has such a high persistence in those fields, right? Because it's not just taking those courses, it's persisting through those courses. And that's why having mentors and support can really be valuable.
Yeah. Listeners, stay tuned. We're going to talk more with our guest, President Carmen Ambar, after this short break. This is Sally Hanlon for Lehigh Valley Discourse.
Do you have a car that you're trading in? How about an old truck or boat that's taking up space? Let WDIY help you get rid of unwanted vehicles and turn them into financial support for the station. It's a simple and easy process. We handle all the towing, title, and transfer, and you receive a tax deduction. Turn your vehicle into the programs you love on WDIY. To learn more, visit WDIY.org or call 610-694-8100, extension 7.
Celtic Fair, a celebration of Celtic music and culture, from its roots in Ireland, Scotland, Wales, Galicia, and Brittany, to its branches in Australia, Cape Breton, Canada, Chicago, New York, Philadelphia, and the Lehigh Valley. Bringing you music, interviews, and a weekly culture calendar every Thursday from 7 to 9 on WDIY Allentown listener-supported community public radio.
Listeners, we're back. This is Sally Hanlon, your host this evening on Lehigh Valley Discourse. And with me in the studio is President Carmen Ambar. And this is her annual visit to WDIY during Women's History Month. And we've been talking about some of the updates and things and new programs that Cedar Crest has been offering. One program that Carmen introduced, what, maybe 3 years ago?
Oh, gosh, the first year experience. We may be in our fourth year now. Yeah.
Okay, the first year experience where everyone in their first year is responsible to read a designated book.
Right.
Okay, and last year they had an amazing, and I'm not going to remember the name.
Olima Gabawi?
Yes, and she came to campus.
She did come to campus. She was incredible.
And that was an amazing presentation that she did. This year's book is called Do It Anyway. And let me share with you a comment that Jane Fonda wrote in the beginning of the book. Do It Anyway asks the most difficult question possible. How can I make my life more meaningful? The answers are varied, transformational, and necessary for all of us. This is an amazing book about 8 or 10 young people.
Right.
And, you talk about getting your first-timers engaged and getting purpose and community. What a perfect book for them to use as sort of a model of others.
So I think this book had an interesting impact on campus because when you see the dedication of the folks in this book, right, it really gives you pause about whether you're putting it all on the line,
right,
for the things you care about. But I think that reason why the folks chose this book, and we have a committee that chooses the book each year and conducts the various seminars, was, you know, we really are trying to reshape how students see themselves and what they think the possibilities are. And we want them to see that it can happen early, that you don't have to wait, you know. And so this book was about that. One of the things that students had to do after reading this book, so they're in a first-year seminar course. There's a series of courses that are associated with our first-year experience. So they take various courses. They're also reading this book. They're going to various plenary sessions. So it's a real comprehensive program. But one of the things they had to do was they had to do a project that was sort of in keeping with the spirit of this book. And so all sorts of interesting projects happening all over campus. So the one that I know about the most, because we ended up showing the video to our board of trustees, one group of students, 3 or 4 students, got together and sort of hearing a lot about this transgender issue and what is that about and what are the definitions and what does it mean. And so they conducted some interviews, did some research, and then created an educational video. And the video just sort of goes through terms and definitions and what the issues are. And I have to say, I wasn't as familiar with all the issues around transgender folks. And so we showed that video to our board of trustees because we all needed a little bit of education
Absolutely,
about this
yeah.
issue. And that was, I thought, a really good sort of indication of the type of work you can do. So they were, how can we educate our community about this? They began to discuss it. They had to do research. They talked about how they might show it to people. And then ultimately, they sent it out to the campus community, had some moments where people could come and watch it together and talk about it. And it was such a good little video that I thought, well, our board of trustees should see that. And there were projects like that all around campus, just trying to figure out how you can do it anyway. And I think it's going to serve them well as they go out and do these interesting things in our community.
Well, it sounds like that video in particular could have some community use outside of
CFS. You know, it was really interesting. Just a 12-minute little video, but just talking about the issues that transgender folks face, but really some definitions, right?
Because
sometimes the definitions were just hard to get your mind wrapped around if you've been thinking about a very binary approach to gender. So I thought it was great, and it was good enough to send to our board of trustees.
Wow, terrific. Listeners, the name of the book again, if you want to catch up with the students at Cedar Crest, is Do It Anyway, and it's by Courtney Martin. And as I said, I sat down and read it and found it fascinating because so often today you hear that the younger generation just isn't as engaged as we were but it's a whole different approach. I mean, folks in this book, I mean, they changed their lifestyles. They gave up thousands of dollars,
right?
They get, you know, and in search of trying to find the meaning, and
right, trying to find their purpose and trying to follow it in a true sense.
Yeah, very exceptional. And in case you're interested, Carmen brought along next year's read, and so if you want to keep up with us for next March, it's Sue Monk Kidd, The Invention of Wings. So I'm really anxious to start reading that one, but I have to wait till closer to when
right.
when we have the show, so I remember everything. Part of this evening, we've talked about some of the new initiatives at Cedar Crest. And Carmen, in her opening, spoke about one, and I'd like to go into a little bit more detail, and that's the MBA program. I just think it's terrific that Cedar Crest is offering it. I'd like to learn more myself, but I'd like our listeners to know more about the program and what you're hoping to accomplish.
Well, I think for us, first of all, I think having an MBA is really in some ways about having an anchor program in business that really reflects the sophistication of our institution. So I think in some ways the MBA was about that. But I think we also felt that there were some missing elements in the market that we might be able to fill. And part of that was about having a rolling admissions policy so people could apply and really start at any time. We wanted to be accelerated so you could pick your own pace. So we wanted you to be able to finish it in 18 months if you wanted to. And that, I think, is different than most folks. But if you wanted to take a slower path, you could do that as well. So we also wanted it to be really convenient. So we wanted the classes to meet just one night a week in these 4 10-week sessions. So it's a tough night, that one night. But that means that you can really work it around a lot of things if you can make your schedule work that way. And, of course, we wanted to make sure that we had really excellent students who were able to be a part of this. So that was the kind of plan. How can we help folks who want to get an MBA do it in a convenient way at a rigorous institution that could fit around their schedule, that they could start in multiple starts, that you could go at any pace. So if you wanted to be in 18 months, boom, you could do it. But if you wanted to take 3 years, you could do that too. And it was with that in mind that we designed this program. So we're going to be we're doing it in the fall. You can start in the fall if you're interested. Go right on the front page of the website. You'll see MBA program and you can apply and start to begin to think about joining us in the fall.
That sounds like very interesting scheduling, starting at any time, at any pace. So, wow.
I will tell you that I believe, and I'm going to say this out loud. I've never said this out loud, really, certainly not to a public audience. But this notion of being able to deliver the academic experience in any way people want it, I think is where we're headed. So in the same way that you access Netflix and the movie anytime you want it. The question is, are we moving to a stage where we have education sort of on demand?
Right.
And, you know, we won't be able to do that perfectly, but I think that people have all sorts of things happening in their lives. They need to be able to go at any moment, at any time, and access knowledge. And we're going to have to think about what that means. At Cedar Crest, one of the things that we're exploring now, this will probably be two or three shows from now, but, you know, competency-based education. So people getting credit for their prior work experience, right?
That's a big one. I really wish we had that now.
Right. You know, so we are thinking seriously about how to do that. Prior assessment learning, right? How do you assess people's prior learning? So if you have expertise in business, Allie, and I don't have expertise in business, and we start the MBA together, can't you get credit for that and be three or four courses ahead of me and I'm just new to it? And isn't that the right thing to do? And I just think we're going to have to figure that out. And I think there's some interesting institutions out there that are thinking really in this very dynamic way about competency-based education. And I think we're going to have to figure it out at Cedar Crest. It's one of those ones that I'm sitting with the senior leadership team and talking about. We're several years away from doing that. But that's about trying to find a way to deliver the academic experience in a variety of ways. There will always be traditional age college students that want that residential experience, right? We're always going to have that.
Mm-hmm. And it's good for them.
And it's great for them, right? But there are going to be a lot of ways to get a strong academic experience. And the institutions that are thriving and vibrant, I believe, are going to have to find a way to deliver their experience to different types of people in different modes and to find a way to still remain who they are at their core, mm-hmm. right? And that's the reason why Cedar Crest never pursued these massive courses online.
Yeah.
We pursued these small private online courses so you could still have that intimate relationship with that faculty member and still feel like you were connected and knowing that person because there are only eight or nine people in the class. So how do you deliver competency-based education in the Cedar Crest way? That's what we got to figure out.
Yeah, it's interesting that you talk about that. I did some research this past year for actually two different clients. And one was on corporate training and the trends and where it's headed. And very much so. I mean, not just because of the younger generation coming up, but just with the way knowledge is changing so
right.
quickly that you've got to find ways to be able to access it quickly,
right.
On the go. And then another one that I worked on dealt with some senior living situations. And one of the CEOs said to me that they've got to get their staff more technically oriented because they've got to be able to use the notebooks and the iPads in caring for their client base. Because, again, things change quickly. You have to be notified. You have to move on a dime.
Right.
And to try and retain that or go find it,
right.
it's going to be difficult. So what you're talking about is going to prepare the folks to have that flexibility and that on-demand knowledge at their fingertips.
Right. And I think that, you know, it's sometimes we can be nervous about those types of changes and resist them in a way that I think doesn't serve us well. And I've always had the philosophy, not that you can adopt every new thing, but I guess my mind is curious about, well, how might you do that and still retain who you are? And so I've been saying for a couple of years at Cedar Crest, you know, so it's education on demand, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there will definitely be those students who come and have the traditional experience and go to the soccer game and do alternative spring break and all those wonderful things that we all kind of had in our own college experience. And then there are going to be some people who come and want the certificate program and do it on demand and are doing it at midnight and are coming in interesting ways and bring prior experience, and they're going to be your graduates too. And that's okay. Let's find a way to do it for them
yeah.
in an effective way. And we're still thinking about it. We don't have the answers to that one, but we're certainly thinking about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Fascinating. It's amazing, this technology world. Let's move on to one of sort of the extracurricular things that Cedar Crest is known for, and that's the Women's Leadership Institute. And for the past, 3 years you've been offering
a
series?
Well, this is our second year in the series. Yeah.
Okay, second year. They've been offering a series, and where is it headed? Where are you going?
So the Women's Leadership Institute has a couple of components. It has the Power Up series that's for corporate women. This is really our effort to be the place for women in corporate America who are rethinking their careers, want to move up in their careers, and need a little extra credential or a little extra support to help them think differently about what they can achieve. We have the undergraduate leadership certificate, so undergraduates can get a leadership certificate. So we're in the second year of our Power Up series. In fact, fact, they were just on campus today, and they were leading in times of change was the session today, sold out session. And this has been really interesting because I think that sometimes we can kind of get this sense that women are doing great and, you know, everything's changed and everything's wonderful. And certainly things have gotten better. But if you look at the data points around women in business and CEO positions, certainly women of color, I mean, we're in the single digits.
Well, we only 19% of our boards have women on them in the U.S.
So. Right. So, you know, there is plenty of work to do. And some of that work is about helping women feel confident enough that they have the skill set they need to go on to that next level. Mm-hmm. And that's really what Power Up is about. It's about helping women do that and lead it in times of change. I think it's perfect. It's a perfect session. One of the first sessions we had was a session about being a person of influence. So sometimes it's about making sure that people in your workplace understand your power right. as a staff member and as a contributor to the organization. And sometimes women don't do as good a job as men in letting everybody know
it's hard for us.
Yes.
We don't want to boast.
Right, right. So, but sometimes we need to tell people how great we are, yeah. right? And so that's been an important part of how we think about ourselves at Cedar Crest. It is what I would call a mission-centered institute that's at the core of who we are, women's leadership, and making sure that women see themselves as leaders and have all the skills they need to be successful. So the Power Up series has been going great. Katie Danson, our executive director there, has taken the bull by the horns and really got that moving. And she'll be announcing soon when the next four sessions are. But I know we have another session coming up. So if people want to really learn how to move on in the next phase, I think the next one is leadership and awareness of the mind-body connection. That's the next session. So if you go on our website, you can find that session, and that will be an interesting one, too.
Okay, and then we have coming up in June the with the Women's Business Council, the
Women's Summit. That's yeah. going to be great. So that's going to be on June 9th, and I think the sort of big power speaker is Piper Kerman. And some of you who watch Orange is the New Black might not recognize her name, but that particular show is based on her book. Okay. She wrote the book, her sort of essentially true story about being incarcerated and sort of Orange being the New Black. And so she's going to be our keynote speaker and to talk at that summit. So sign up now, get on the website, and it's going to be on June 9th. And of course, there are going to be all sorts of other workshops there. So, you know, we have this power speaker, but all through the day are wonderful workshops. We typically have 400 or 500 women on campus, women in business. It's a great event. And we do that in partnership with the Women's Business Council, with the Chamber, and with the United Way. And that's been a great partnership as we've come together to try to provide this opportunity for women.
Yeah, it is. And it's a beautiful time to be on campus.
It is.
That early summer on that campus.
And so far, it's never rained. So,
keep your fingers crossed.
It won't rain. I promise you when you get there. It won't. No, hopefully in June it won't. If it's still snowing in June, Sally, we should enjoy it. We should be happy if that happens. That will mean that things are interesting.
Well, you know, it was interesting as you were mentioning the names of the seminars. One of the things that I heard recently was you said leading in changing times. And I heard recently someone say, well, you know, in about 2 years, we'll get back to normal. And I'm thinking, what is normal? I mean, and how could you even say that? Because times, I think, are just going to be continuing.
I wouldn't say we're going to get back to normal. What I say to our board all the time is that the search for placid waters is a futile search. It's a futile search. So what you have to enjoy is that we are in a time of rapids. That's the world we're always going to be in. So the question for us is, do you have the right raft? Do you have the right oars? Do you have the right people in your raft? Do you have the right life jacket? And then enjoy that ride, right?
Yeah.
Because looking for placid waters, that's not going to be the space for us. It's enjoying the rapids.
Mm-hmm. Well, Carmen, I want to thank you for being here with us. This hour always goes so quickly when you're here with me. Is there anything special you would like to share about upcoming events at Cedar Crest?
Well, you should definitely get on the website. So next weekend, our show Completely Hollywood is going to be showing. So that'll be the 26th, the 27th, and 28th. If you're interested in Sage, there is a Sage open house on April 23rd. So that should be interesting. You know, one interesting little side thing that we're doing, we're the only college really in Pennsylvania that's offering the Act 31 training. So this is for people who need the child abuse, sort of training. So you should get on our website and see that. We have a really powerhouse faculty member named Kathy Boland in social work that does that training. So if you need that, we're really the only place, the only college that's doing that. So get on the website and look for that.
Okay, terrific. Listeners, this wraps up tonight's Lehigh Valley Discourse. I want to thank my guest again, President Ambar, for being a part of this and for giving us an update this year again. Thank you for listening. This is Sally Hanlon, your community host on WDIY.